the hottest food destination on earth. New York City? Paris? Beijing? Nope. Today's book cites the capital city of the island nation of Taiwan, Taipei, as the owner of that treasured foodie moniker. In no small part because of the city's treasured street food vendors. Unlike the authorities in some other Asian cities, Taipei's leaders, like the city's 2.68 million residents, seem to cherish the capital's street foods and hole-in-the-wall eateries. This is a key reason, no doubt, why Taipei has begun to appear on lists of the world's best food cities and has even been called the hottest food destination on Earth. Taipei, you say? Surprising. But then there is today's feature title, A Culinary History of Taipei, by longtime British travel writer and Taiwan dweller Stephen Kirk and Taipei native Katie Wee Wen Hung, which despite its pedestrian title, A Culinary History of Taipei, makes a strong case for the East Asian capital city as a food destination worth taking note of. A Culinary History of Taipei is part of an intriguing series of foodie travel books titled Big City Food Biographies. And today's book lives up to that dual moniker, replete with food history, which is, of course, tied up with political and social history. This is as much a where-to-eat and what-to-eat travel guide to the island's capital city as it is a look at some of the rich history of this sometimes important island. Other titles in the series, by the way, include kind of obvious cities like Seattle, Chicago, Kansas City, New Orleans, of course, New York City, Rio de Janeiro, and also includes a few cities that kind of jumped out at me, Taipei, today's book, Madrid, and Sydney, Australia. Never thought of that as a particular foodie destination, but hey, it made it into this series. The food history and culture of Taipei is complex, as Crook and Hung note again and again. In this foodie travel guide, the island nation of Taiwan and its largest city have seen waves of immigrants. The indigenous people, who most likely came from southern China millennia ago, the Portuguese, the Dutch, who were the first Europeans to settle on the island, and then the Japanese, who conquered and culturally settled the island and its capital city early in the 20th century, only to be replaced by a flood of mainland Chinese led by none other than Generalissimo Chiang Kai-shek, who fled the island as the Maoist communists claimed rule of mainland China. No wonder, then, that Taipei's cuisine is such a multicultural experience, combining the natural bounty of the forested, sea-surrounded island with European and most especially East Asian flavors, cooking techniques, and cuisines. Traditions that continue to evolve and incorporate more and more international urban expectations as Taipei rushes ever closer to a first world lifestyle. Well, what would a foodie travel guide be without at least a brief review of notable restaurants? There is an entire chapter devoted to just such centers of food excellence. And as I noted earlier, Taipei restaurants benefited greatly from the international political climate that engulfed the island nation in the mid-20th century. The influx of mainland Chinese in the 1950s clearly influenced the cuisine that imbues Taiwanese culture with a significant Chinese sheen even today. The dominant dining experience, we're told, is to be found in both the multi-star restaurants, which feature traditional and modern Chinese cooking at its finest. But this book, devoted to food destinations, also captures the multifaceted nature of Taipei's cooking, with extended reviews of restaurants that feature indigenous Austronesian foods, native Taiwanese foods, Japanese, and even fusion foods. Two, there is much foodie experience to be had outside the multi-star restaurants. Taipei street vendors, a throwback, we're told, to the Japanese and early Chinese invasion days, have clearly found a significant niche in the streets that make up the capital city of nearly 3 million people. Indeed, part of the charm of this foodie travelogue is its insistence on telling us about the peculiarities of Taipei foods. The wide variety of mushrooms, often harvested from the neighboring forests and mountains, the snails, frogs, and other freshwater creatures that may not be considered haute cuisine as they are in the West, but are the easily gathered foods of those who live in the countryside. And now, for the big city foodie buffs in Taipei who claim to fancy native Taiwanese recipes. What is old is new. Every culture has its own dominant foods, of course, foods that reach back into remote experience of history. foods that help to define the cuisine of the locals and that foodie tourists, homegrown and international, delight in discovering. So while it's notable that fishing from the seas that surround the island are always a major source of foodstuffs, ocean-caught fish and squid, along with turtle and fish roe, have many more consumers in Taiwan than even in Japan or the U.S. of A. But our book notes that there is a growing contemporary interest in land-based aquaculture as well, and increasing consumption and in-island production of hogs and poultry, too. And the ubiquitous sweet potato, with its long association with the diets of poor farmers in rural lands, is making a comeback as younger, big city folks in Taipei seek to join the worldwide modern cleaner and healthier food movement. And we're taken into the world of soy sauces, it being East Asia, which is one major manufacturer on the island notes, can change each unique product's taste only very slowly, as the soy sauce tradition is as reminiscent of Taipan's grandma's cooking in Taiwan as a favorite spaghetti sauce or salsa may be in the West. Rice, of course, is a commonplace in southern geographic cooking the world over, and it's certainly important for Taipei cuisine as well. The ubiquitous rice cooker soon makes its appearance in our book, as does a note that increasingly financial well-being among urban young Taipeans means fewer and fewer young folks in Taipei cook, even disdaining to cook up their own daily rice. Evidently, they stop by rice stalls on their way home. And though it's perhaps surprising to Western readers, it's quite sensible to Taiwanese culture when our author tells us that rice and other foods have become an important part of the local religious rites. The interest in talking about and explaining Taipei community religious rites indeed finds a place, not to mention an entire chapter in this food travel book. When the Taipei Times reviewed this book late last year, the reviewer called it, quote, painstakingly researched and immensely detailed, a ride through Taipei's foodways, starting from prehistoric foraging to modern culinary superstars in organic eating. What's impressive, the reviewer went on, is that with the number of facts and anecdotes packed into every paragraph, the writing remains lively. Pulling it all together, a famous Taipei restaurateur had this to say about what is the Taiwanese way with food. He's quoted as saying, I would say temperature. Temperature in many ways. The temperature of the food we eat. Temperature in relationships, and the colors we use. For Taiwanese, I think it's in our DNA. We don't necessarily need the best ingredients or the very best service. It took me many years to realize the uniqueness of this. Others have used the Mandarin term warmth and hospitality between people to express similar ideas. You live with your consumers, he goes on to say. You should provide them with better options, but never educate them. Yet this restaurateur is always willing to respond to customers who have criticisms to make, and he encourages his kitchen staff to do the same. At his kitchen, the kitchen staff serve the customers. Who knows the dish better than the person who cooks it? They're ready to answer any questions the customer may have. A Culinary History of Taipei, it's subtitled, by the way, Beyond Pork and Pon Lai, written by Stephen Crook and Katie Hui Wen Hung. It's quite an interesting read and certainly opened up a part of the world that I knew very little about when it comes to cooking, certainly. Part of a larger series, The Culinary History of Taipei. It's available at the West Lafayette Public